From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition. And liftoff of Starliner and Atlas V, carrying two American heroes, drawing a line to the stars for all of us.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what America sounds like. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Wow, what a great day to be an American. And what an incredible, beautiful liftoff of the all-new Boeing Starliner blasting off into space just a little while ago. Everything looks great, and it just, again, it's a great reminder of the exceptionalism of the American people. Hello, everybody. We have a fun, we have a weird show coming to you today. That's all I can tell you. It's just going to be a little off, but that's okay. Off kilter? Okay, maybe just a smidge. And you know why? Because yours truly, I got a good night's sleep last night. I think I slept like 10 hours last night. You know, I'm a Trump guy. I normally need three and a half hours. I'm good to go. But when I get this much sleep, I'm bouncing off the walls. I've got the staff building an addition to the news bunker out back. I mean, it's crazy. Went to Home Depot. No, I'm just kidding. All that to say, we're going to have a fun show today. Looking forward to hearing what's on your mind. But I want to go back to what just happened there in at the Space Center, where we just had the liftoff of the Starliner. And the guy who is one of the astronauts on board, his name is Butch Wilmore. And this guy, he was at the Kennedy Space Center. This guy is a good guy. He's a Tennessean, so you know he's good people. This guy, born and raised right here in the Volunteer State, he is also a marathon runner, which I know will excite Ben Dieter, the morning show host at KWAM. He is also a pastor. He's actually the pastor of a Baptist church. I mean, this guy, I mean, you can't get much better than a Baptist preacher from Tennessee. That's pretty awesome. He's a marathon runner. He also loves animals. Oh, that's good. He is also a patriot. And, you know, we've been through a lot over these past, 7 years in this country, and it's been tough. You have so many people out there and so many people that are role models, and I would consider an astronaut to be a role model. I mean, you're strapping yourself to basically a bomb and just hoping it doesn't go off. You're putting your life on the line so that our nation can reach for the stars. And in my mind, that's a hero. That's somebody who's willing to put it all on the line for humanity and especially for the United States of America. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, people always, you know, they get concerned because of what happened with the Challenger and the disaster. And then back in the 1980s, when you had the first teacher in space and, of course, the liftoff and the explosion there, it's a dangerous proposition going into space. And there were a lot of unknowns today. But everything worked, and it was a beautiful moment. I want to play this audio from astronaut Butch. And Butch Wilmore, they're strapped in there, and he's the commander. The pilot is Suni Williams, just a lovely person. And they're sitting there on literally atop thousands of gallons of fuel that's about to be lit. And he was offering words to the nation. And I asked Dylan right before the show, I'm rushing and I'm like, hey, we got to get this audio. I want you to hear what he had to say. And in this context, they didn't know how this was going to go. So these could have been the last words of Butch Wilmore. All right. I just want you in the back of your brain. I know it's not morbid, but I want you to understand the context here, because when you do it, it means more. Right. So let's listen to Butch Wilmore right before they lit the fuse and blew them off into space.
Sonny and I, as we were traveling to the pad, we saw many American flags, and many of you were waving flags at us. And then as we reached the pad, we looked up, and of course there's that American flag on the side of the white room, also one on the side of the rocket itself. And we know that that represents unity and resilience and unified efforts for the common good. And that's what Sonny and I have witnessed this last month. Each of you displaying what this nation's forefathers envisioned, a people committed to God, family, and country, a people who use their gifts and talents for the common good, and are passionate and tough. And we all know that when the going gets tough, and it often does, the tough get going. And you have. And Sonny and I are honored to share this dream of spaceflight with each and every one of you. So with that, LC, let's get going. Now let's put some fire in this rocket. Now let's push it to the heavens where all these tough Americans have prepared it to be.
Kick the tires and light the fires. America's back, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that was. I don't know, how can you possibly sit down? I know people are literally honking their horns on the road somewhere saying, yes, yes, that is who we are. Thank you, Butch Wilmore. Thank you, Sonny Williams. You represent the best of us. And thank you. They're about to blast off into space. They got so many other things on their mind. But this guy was just sharing from his heart, saying, hey, that flag. And how about all those people waving the American flag, waving Old Glory? They weren't waving rainbow flags. They weren't stomping on the flags. They weren't burning the flags. They were waving Old Glory. They were proud of their country. And this is a reminder, again, of the greatness of this country. This is what Donald Trump represents. This is what the America First movement represents, ladies and gentlemen. And every time we get it's and I believe in God. I am a Christian man. I am of the Baptist faith tradition. And I believe that our founding fathers meant for this nation to be a Christian nation. And under the precepts and the teachings of Christianity and the Old Testament Jewish teachings, I believe that we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And the reason why is because you have the choice. You can choose to be a Christian. You can choose not to be a Christian. You can live your life however you want to live your life. And I think the entire month of June illustrates the awesomeness of our way of life. You may find what's happening this month to be reprehensible, but that's okay. That's your right to feel that way. You may be one of those people marching the streets. I may not agree with you, but you know what? That's your right as an American citizen, as long as you're not grooming our kids. That's what makes America great. We may not agree with each other, but at the end of the day, we have to come together and we have to agree on the precepts and the concepts that made America who we are today. And there are forces at work, and they are powerful, they are mighty, they are evil, but they are trying to rip us apart. They're trying to rip our country to shreds. And every single day on this radio program, we try to bring you those stories. And I know some of you get really discouraged by what's happening in the country, right? I get it. I was having a day yesterday. We all go through those days. But we have to understand something, that God is on the throne, that God is in control. We ask God to bless America, and I believe that God has blessed America. I believe he will continue to bless America. I truly do. Now, that doesn't mean things are going to be easy, right? We're all going to go through some difficult times in our lives. We're going through a dark winter in our country right now. But you know what? Sun still comes up every morning, right? Walk outside of the beautiful news bunker here in Memphis, Tennessee. Birds are chirping, and if the wind's blowing the right way, I can smell the hickory smoke down at the barbecue joint. So as bad as things are, we still got it pretty good in this country. But for those of you who get discouraged, and this is why I wrote Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Probably should have come up with another title, because it's really without question. Yes, America can be saved. The question is, are we going to do it? Are we going to stand up and put in the hard work to make America this great exceptional nation? Now, I was prepared to come on and talk about the Wall Street Journal report, which we're going to do, on Joe Biden. We got so much stuff to talk about today. But as I was getting ready to come upstairs, someone sent me the note, said, you got to watch this video. And I knew this is where we had to start, because we have to be reminded in the darkest of this Biden winter that God is still in control. There are so many good and decent patriots in this country. And if we stand together, we can facilitate change. Look at what just happened over there at the Kennedy Space Center. People from all different backgrounds and persuasions and skin colors and you name it, they all came together for one single purpose, for one single mission. That was to put Butch and Sonny into space. Now, if they can do that, then imagine what we can do. If we gather together as one, it doesn't matter, the Methodist and the Baptist, get the VFW halls involved, get all the women's groups out there. If we can all get together, Trail Life USA men, the American Heritage Girls, get everybody together focused on the mission. And what is the mission? It's to fight for our freedom. As Ronald Reagan said, and this is where I came up with the title for the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, is that our national anthem doesn't start with a declaration. It doesn't say that we are the greatest and will always be the greatest nation on the face of the earth. No. Our national anthem starts with the question, hey, is the flag there? Can you still see it flying? Have the British overrun us? No. The answer is the flag was still there. And the flag is still there today, ladies and gentlemen. And it will be so long as we have brave American patriots like Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams that are willing to put it all on the line to make sure that America is the most exceptional nation on the face of the earth. That's what today's all about. All right, got to take a break here. And thank you for, I have no script, no talking points, no notes, just sharing with you this morning. But there's a burst of pride in my heart hearing what Butch Wilmore said before he and Sonny went up into space. All right, 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And by the way, those of you listening to us on WTJS and KWAM, we're doing a big book signing. This is our exclusive Mid-South book signing on Saturday. That's coming up this coming Saturday, June 8th, at the Books A Million in South Haven, Mississippi. And after the book signing, you got to head over to Silo Square. What a great district, entertainment district, great restaurants, you name it. And we'll probably be over there, the Starnes family will, chowing down afterwards. But 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, Books A Million, there in South Haven, Mississippi, and we would love for you to drop by and say hello. Even if you don't buy a book, come on by and say howdy, and I would love to be able to shake your hand, have a little bit of good old-fashioned Southern hospitality. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Professor Murph from Germantown, listening to us on KWM. Hi, Professor. What's going on?
Dr. Starnes, great to talk to you. Just thought I'd let you know, during my short life period, I've had an opportunity to meet four astronauts, Pete Conrad, John Glenn, Alan Bean, and Fred Hayes over my 40-year career of study. And I have a friend of mine back in St. Louis who has an autographed picture, and it reads, "To the Blake family from your friends from the Pale Blue," and it's all seven original Mercury astronauts.
Is that right?
Yes. And you were mentioning Twilight's Last Gleaming and the flag. Piece of history, James Madison was abhorred, upset, irate, that the United States Congress would appropriate $404.79 to put a flag over Fort McHenry. He thought the price was just out of reach. He was upset. And I think that flag is now in the Smithsonian, but I'm not sure. I'm almost positive, though.
So, Murph, our good buddy Paul Shanklin, who used to be the exclusive and top parody guy for El Rushbo and now hangs out with us, he says it was also written by a lawyer to the tune of a pub song, and the lawyer was a conscientious objector.
Yep. It's very difficult to sing. It's a British beer drinking song. The tune is.
Maybe you need to be a couple of beers in to get the high notes.
You better believe it. It's hard to sing, but good buddy. But I'll let you go. You take care.
All right, Murph, thanks for the history lesson. That's our good friend, ladies and gentlemen, Murph from Germantown, a retired history teacher. We need more history people, more history teachers like Murph. That's what I'm talking about. So anyway, appreciate you calling in, Murph. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, it's interesting. I actually had the honor of meeting an incredible astronaut. His name is Jeff Williams, and he wrote a beautiful, beautiful book. He took his camera into space and created this beautiful coffee table book called Grace in Space. And Jeff Williams actually we met at a conference that was hosted by John MacArthur, the great pastor out in California. And Jeff, who was a lieutenant colonel of the Army, was dispatched to pick me up at LAX. So he was my driver. I thought that was pretty cool. It's not every day you get an astronaut driving you around Los Angeles. What an incredible man, just a godly man. He was on the space shuttle Atlantis, and he did a lot of work on the International Space Station. So what a great guy, and it really takes a special type of person to be an astronaut. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie or this TV series. It's on Apple TV called For All Mankind, which is a reimagining of the entire space program, and it's, I think, four seasons in. But it sets America on the path to space by asking the question, what would have happened if the Russians would have beaten us to the moon? How would we have responded? It is a fascinating, fascinating look at not just the space program, but this alternative history they create. And it's worth a watch. It's called For All Mankind. All right, we got a lot of politics to talk about. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Tom Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. Sorry about that, folks. I was trying to fire off a text message here. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. You can watch the Todd Stern Show. All I can tell you about that show is we have a massive audience. So thank you all very much. You are making the 5 o'clock hour on Newsmax one of the most watched hours on, is it cable television? It's really, it's like on YouTube and Facebook. So on the streaming services. So there you go. All right. Can we talk about Joe Biden for just a moment here? The man's old. I mean, there's really no polite way to say this, but Joe Biden is old, 81 years old. He is the oldest guy to ever serve in the Oval Office. He is our oldest president. And there is a lot of concern about his cognitive skills and his abilities. As a matter of fact, the Wall Street Journal has just released a story, and it's really explosive, folks. I don't think there's any surprise here. Are you surprised by what the Wall Street Journal found? Now, according to their investigation, they interviewed 45 lawmakers and 45 administration officials. In other words, they did their due diligence here. They interviewed Republicans and Democrats. And keep in mind, these are people that are working in the Oval Office. And everybody, to a person, is very alarmed at Biden's mental abilities. Many Republicans and many Democrats are now saying that he is showing his age in private meetings. And we've all seen this, right? We've seen him just wandering around on stage and doesn't know where he's going. And he's shaking imaginary hands. And some people actually think that what's really going on here is that maybe he's seeing dead people. Right. I mean, he's been calling them out. He actually sees them in the crowd, and maybe in his mind, he's actually shaking hands with somebody. I see dead people. I don't know. But it's weird, man. And by the way, you know, and this is dangerous. I'll get to the danger part of it in just a moment here. But, you know, our enemies, they see this. Everybody sees it. And our enemies, you think they're just gonna send a get well card and maybe offer Joe a referral to the old folks home? I don't think so. I think our enemies are taking advantage of Joe Biden's mental decline. Now, don't get me wrong here. I believe that Barack Hussein Obama and Susan Rice are actually running this administration. But ultimately, the face of this is the decrepit old man. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, it's just he's decrepit and he's old and he's a man. Decrepit old man. Now, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, was actually interviewed for this Wall Street Journal piece. And he says, hey, look, I was, you know, when Biden was VP, I got invited over to the Naval Observatory. That's where the vice president lives. And we used to party around. And I'm sitting here reading this and I'm thinking, well, now we understand why McCarthy turned out the way he did. But anyway, that's not the point of this. So McCarthy said that the Joe Biden that he used to know is not the Joe Biden that is in the White House right now. He is just not the same person. Now, the Wall Street Journal says that in some cases they'd be having these important meetings and Biden would just stop. He would just stop and he didn't know where he was. At times he would close his eyes and some people thought he was either asleep or the guy just, he's checked out. This is not good. And then, so all of this makes sense. So this is what's happening behind closed doors. And then you have these moments when he's out there doing the speeches and his eyes are like big as saucers. He's not blinking. Clearly, he's doing speed or there's something that they have injected into this guy. And whether it's whether he did it himself or had somebody do it for him, the guy is juiced up in a lot of these speeches. Now, you can call him what, a senile, dementia. I mean, we've got a lot of nurses and doctors that listen to this program, and maybe you have a diagnosis for what Biden is going through. I will say this. Many of you have elderly parents, and you have dealt with this. Have you seen this? That weird way he walks? It's really, it's sort of a jilted or a stilted shuffle. He's not right. He's not right in the head. We have a very polite, you know, a polite saying down in Dixie when you have a family member like this. You know, we say that the cheese has done slid off his cracker. And you hate that. But, you know, I mean, look, the guy is evil. I get it. You know, the man took naked showers with his underage daughter. There's a lot of evil there. But he's not responsible for his age. He can't control the age component of it. No, Dylan, I don't think he takes Balance of Nature. He probably should. Promo code Todd, by the way, if you do that. Balanceofnature.com. All I'm saying is that there's a big problem in Washington, D.C. right now. And when you look at what's happening over in Europe right now, there's reporting out that NATO is already putting together plans for these land bridges so that they can move U.S. military troops and other personnel closer to the border in the event that war breaks out, American war breaks out with Russia. We got big problems, folks. Big problems. And we've got to have a commander-in-chief who knows what the heck he's doing. Meanwhile, you've got Kamala Harris, and the reason why they haven't removed him, and this will happen. There's no way he's going to be able to. No way. As a matter of fact, we've got. Where is that survey? All right. I've got a survey here. I'm going to call this up. So NPR had the exclusive rights to this survey that just came out. I am calling it up. We have not published it ourselves just yet. But the survey shows Joe Biden in huge trouble right now, huge trouble with younger voters. And according to the NPR study, and the survey was actually conducted by a university there in the Chicago area. And the survey shows that Joe Biden is now losing support among Generation Z voters. The Gen Zers. My apologies. This is where. All right, here we go. University of Chicago did the poll. NPR published the poll. Here we go. Biden's support among younger Black, Latino, and Asian American voters is slipping dramatically. Trump actually beats Biden right now among younger Latino and white voters. Let me repeat this. According to this University of Chicago poll, 18 to 26-year-old white people and Latino voters are siding with Trump, 33% to 32%. That is a massive number because typically Democrats, they just kick the Republicans' butts in that demographic. Biden holds a small lead among voters ages 27 to 40, 34% to 30%. So that tells me that Gen Z is on to this. They know what's going on. They can't afford homes. They can't afford to pay back those college loans. They know when they're being pandered to, and that's what Joe Biden is doing. They and honest to goodness, you've got Joe Biden out there, and they're having the big strategy sessions there in the Oval Office at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and they're looking at the numbers. Mr. President, we've got some bad news for you, sir. And by the way, these are all white, ultra-rich liberals that were educated in the Ivy League schools. In other words, they're stupid. They've got no common sense. And so they're having these conversations, and we've seen the results of this. So I'm not pandering here to you or making this up, but this is their mindset. Well, Mr. President, your numbers among blacks, not looking good. We need to get you out there, sir. And the next thing you know, we're seeing Joe Biden on TV eating from a bucket of KFC listening to Snoop Dogg. And the blacks and Gen Z are like, what is this? What? And then you look at Donald Trump and his connection to black celebrities, black athletes. It is genuine. It is real. And the people see it. And they can feel it. They know authenticity. So, again, as excited as I am about the incredible launch of Starliner, these numbers should make you all feel good and encouraged, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we got a long way to go before now, between now and Election Day. Don't get me wrong here. But I'm just telling you that the younger generation, they're waking up. And here's what we need to be doing. Those 18 to 26-year-olds, a lot of those kids just graduated high school, get them plugged into a conservative organization. Get them involved now. We can't wait until they're in their 40s or 50s. We've got to start reaching out right now. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. 5926. We're going to be taking your calls momentarily. I have a question for you, though. Are you guys watching Newsmax? Have you made the switch? And you should, if for no other reason, to watch my show, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax 2. Our streaming channel is huge on OTT platforms like Roku and Samsung, Amazon, so many others carry the show. But you also need to get Newsmax Plus. It is our streaming service, and you're going to be able to get all the other Newsmax shows, Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, and Greg Kelly. So you're going to get great analysis as well as great commentary. NewsmaxPlus.com. Now, here's the deal. Todd Starn Show listeners, you guys are going to be able to get a free trial offer. So if you sign up today, you will not have to pay a single penny. It costs absolutely nothing to start. So if you don't like it, all right, you got nothing to lose here. NewsmaxPlus.com. Download the app and start watching right now.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Wow. Have you heard about restaurants that are closing, businesses that are shutting down? There is a very popular California restaurant called Rubio's Coastal Grill. They have 48 locations across California, and they're having a shutdown because of inflation and also this mandatory minimum wage increase. Cut number one.
spokesperson for Rubio says it's becoming increasingly more challenging to keep up with rising costs. And it comes as devastating news for many San Diegans who have seen the restaurant expand over the years.
I'm bummed that they're closing. I go there at least once a week.
Since 1983, Rubio's Coastal Grill has grown to be a San Diego favorite.
We eat there for, like, at UCSD when we went there for college all the time.
And it has a nice story to it, too, how it began as a tiny place, and it expanded.
The casual dining restaurant began as a walk-up taco stand in Mission Bay and has expanded throughout the decades to hundreds of stores across the U.S.
You got to start with a soft corn tortilla. Then you need a little white sauce on the deep-fried fish.
CBS 8 has covered the restaurant several times over the years, including in 1997.
We really want to expand coast to coast. Smoky Oaxacan shrimp tacos. This is our cilantro lime quinoa bowl, which is one of my favorites.
In 2019, co-founder Ralph Rubio sat down with CBS 8's Jeff Zevely about what inspired him to open up the restaurant famous for its fish tacos.
My first fish taco experience in Baja was in San Felipe, which is on the Sea of Cortez.
In 2020, we covered the challenges the restaurant faced during the pandemic when it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and was forced to close 26 locations. At the time, the restaurant said the restructuring plan was to create long-term financial stability. Fast forward to today, the store announced it closed a total of 48 underperforming locations across the state, including 13 in San Diego.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of businesses are going through the same problems. You know, we're overtaxed, we're overburdened, and gasoline's higher here than, you know, everything in San Diego is more than anywhere else.
I don't know. I mean, they're a San Diego staple.
In a statement, a spokesperson for Rubio's told CBS 8 the decision to close stores is never an easy one, and that the closings were brought about by the rising cost of doing business in California. They add that, while painful, the store closures are a necessary step in their strategic long-term plan.
It's sad to see that it's a quality, good company that can't keep all of their Rubio's open.
You know, it's unfortunate that everything's too expensive in California.
The company says there are 86 stores that will remain open in California, Arizona, and Nevada. For a full list of the 13 San Diego area store closures, go to CBS8.com and click on the story. Rocio de la Fe, CBS 8.
All right, well, we didn't need all right. So look, here's the deal. This is going to be happening all over the country. And we're starting to see it with some of the big national chains of folks like Red Lobster, even Olive Garden. But what do you expect? I mean, here we are. We're in a situation now where these restaurants are being forced, and especially in California, to pay, what, $20 an hour? Is that the minimum, the mandatory minimum wage? And if you're a restaurant owner, you can't afford it. And I mean, I'm sure they would love to be able to pay a lot of money, but the reality is you can only upcharge the tilapia so much. And people are just not going out to dinner like they used to. As a matter of fact, I was listening in. I was driving in this morning to the bunker, and Ben Dieter was talking about how people are not even going to concerts anymore, that a lot of the big artists are actually canceling their concerts because people are not buying the tickets. And the reason why, some of these tickets are like $400, $500, $600. I mean, that's outrageous. Nobody's got that kind of money anymore. So hopefully this is going to motivate a lot of these young people who can't afford to go out and pay, I don't know, $10 for their glass of liquid sludge or whatever they drink to get them going in the morning. That's going to motivate these kids to get out there and vote for Donald Trump. Now, I'm curious, as we head into the next hour of the program, are you finding that people are more likely now to vote for Trump post-conviction? And understand this, Donald Trump is a convicted felon in name only. We all know it was a sham trial, and I think the average American knows that as well. There's a brand new YouGov poll out, and it's really fascinating because back in April, it was like 17 or 18% of Republicans said they would not be voting for a convicted president. I'm sorry, 17%. This was in April. 17% of Republicans thought it was a good idea to let a convicted felon run for president. They resurveyed everybody, and the brand new survey out today, 58% of Republicans say it's not just a good idea, but it's an excellent idea. And again, this goes back to the central truth that I think the average American, Republican, Democrat, or the people who are indifferent, they know this was all a political witch hunt. But, ladies and gentlemen, we all know our great president is the roadrunner. The Democrats are Wile E. Coyote, and whenever they think they've got Trump cornered, a giant acne anvil falls on their heads. God bless America. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up next.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Hope you are doing well today. A lot going on. We have some breaking news coming up to share with you. Elon Musk may be my new neighbor. This is exciting. We're going to get to that story in just a moment. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from Virginia, Congressman Ben Klein, joins us, member of the House Freedom Caucus, House Judiciary Committee. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, we're doing great.
You know, Congress, before we jump into this, I don't know if you had a chance to see the launch of the Starliner, or what astronaut Commander Butch Wilmore had to say to the nation before he blasted off into space. But I have never heard such a more patriotic, God-centered speech coming from an astronaut, and just so patriotic. And what a great day to be an American citizen.
That is fantastic. You know, we have to make sure that we don't allow China or any other nation to dominate the space race. We have to make sure we maintain that American superiority, and it's great when we have patriots who are representing the United States in that program.
Let's talk about what happened yesterday. Merrick Garland, his testimony, it was pretty darn explosive. He is refusing to hand over some documents. I want to play some audio from your colleague, Congressman Gates. Cut 13, please.
General, you've told us that it's a dangerous conspiracy theory to allege that the Department of Justice is communicating with these state and local prosecutions against Trump. You can clear it all up for us right now. Will the Department of Justice provide to the committee all documents, all correspondence between the department and Alvin Bragg's office and Fannie Willis's office and Letitia James's office?
The offices you're referring to are independent offices of state.
I get that. State. The question is whether or not you will provide all of your documents and correspondence. That's the question. I don't need a history lesson.
Well, I'm going to say again, we do not control those offices. They make their own
decisions.
The
question is whether you communicate with them, not whether you control them. Do you communicate with them, and will you provide those communications?
If you make a request, we'll refer it to our Office of Legislative Affairs.
But see, here's the thing.
They
you come in here and you lodge this attack that it's a conspiracy theory that there is coordinated lawfare against Trump. And then when we say, fine, just give us the documents, give us the correspondence, and then if it's a conspiracy theory, that will be evident. But when you say, well, we'll take your request, and then we'll sort of work it through the DOJ's accommodation process, then you're actually advancing the very dangerous conspiracy theory that you're concerned about.
All right, let me jump in here, Congressman. Do you believe that to be the case? I mean, clearly Garland is not going to be turning over any documentation.
Well, he's required to. We're a co-equal branch of government. It's very similar to in a criminal case when you have a prosecution and defense, you have discovery, and the prosecution is required to turn over its evidence to the defense. When you have a co-equal branch of government that's investigating in an impeachment inquiry actual malfeasance by the executive branch, and we have tapes that we want, they are required by law to give them to us. And that's why we have a contempt resolution that has been passed by the Judiciary Committee awaiting House consideration. And we are going to hold Attorney General Garland in contempt for failing to provide these tapes to the Congress.
Good. I like to see this. It's time to play hardball, eye for an eye. That's what I've been saying, Congressman, since the president was convicted. We're calling President Trump, by the way, a convicted felon in name only, because he's really not. This is all a sham trial.
Well, we know that there were egregious errors made by the court during that trial. You can't just give the jury a multiple choice sheet when they're determining guilt or innocence. You have to give the defense the charges that he's been accused of and allow him to prepare an adequate defense. What you don't have are those exact charges. You have instead said, well, you can choose from column A, column B, column C, and they don't have to match up and they don't have to be exactly the same. But guess what? That's what a jury is required to come up with, is exactly the same agreement across the board. It has to be unanimous. And so these types of games that the judge played will be rife. You know, the appeals will hopefully overturn this type of decision, which is really, really remarkable.
I want to go back to Garland. So I believe the Republicans are going to do the right thing, and they will find him in contempt. When that happens, what's the next step? Can he be arrested? When can Merrick Garland be arrested?
Well, unfortunately, our Article I powers don't provide us with a law enforcement authority. Those are given to the Department of Justice, and so it will be referred to the Department of Justice, which is headed by Merrick Garland. So you do have a problem there. But we're going to use all three of our powers that are granted to us by Article One. You have the legislative power, where we're going to be putting restrictions on the Attorney General's office. We're going to use the power of the purse when we go to fund his agencies. And we're also going to use the oversight capabilities and continue to demand the information that we're, quite frankly, entitled to and the people are entitled to.
The other big story, of course, is President Biden's border executive order. This does absolutely nothing to bring order to the border. It certainly does, at least upon my reading of it, provide mass amnesty. What's your take on what the president did yesterday?
Yeah, I agree that the president must have such a low opinion of Americans that he thinks that we can be fooled after 3.5 years of ignoring the border and actually creating a border crisis, turning every community into a border community, running roughshod over our laws, and having a Department of Homeland Security secretary who lies to Congress and should have been removed from office after being impeached by the House, but the Senate didn't do its job. So what we have is, you know, American people who are definitely aware of the malfeasance of this administration and are not going to be fooled by a simple one executive order when you've had over 64 of Trump's actions that were working overturned by executive orders by the Biden administration. So if he wanted to reverse all 64 decisions that he made and realign himself with the Trump policies, he could do that, but he's chosen to just do one, which is still going to amount to about 1 million+ illegals coming into the country over the next year.
Yeah, I want to play some audio here. This is Bill Belugin, our buddy over at Fox. He's been down on the border. This guy's just crushing it down there, interviewing a group of men from the Middle East who crossed illegally into the country. Cut 14.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Why'd you come to Egypt? Why'd you come to America?
For a job.
For a job?
Yeah.
You know it's illegal to cross the border like this, right?
Yeah.
You don't care?
Yes, I'm okay.
Hi, guys. Where are you guys from?
Egypt.
What country? Egypt?
Egypt.
Where are you from? What country?
I am from Turkey.
Turkey?
Yeah.
All Turkey?
Turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. America.
I love you.
America.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you, America.
Where are you from?
From Egypt.
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 America.
Egypt.
Egypt.
Guys, we got some pretty stunning data from our CBP contacts. Since October 1st here in San Diego sectors, there's been about 260,000 illegal immigrants apprehended by Border Patrol. We're told of that number, 78% of them have been released into the United States. And we're told that's primarily because a lot of the people crossing here are coming from countries where it is very difficult to deport people. They're not afraid of deportation. You heard that Jordanian guy tell me when I asked him, you don't care about crossing illegally? He says, yes, I don't care.
Yeah, you know, Congressman, something tells me all these guys from the Middle East are not looking for jobs working down at the Wawa.
I don't think there are some of them that don't have our best interest at heart. And you just saw at the Marine base at Quantico here in my state of Virginia, where two Jordanians, one who were illegally entered into the United States, one of whom was may have been on the terrorist watch list, attempted to ram their way into Quantico Marine base. And we don't know what their intent was, but we do know that it's happened more than once at military bases. And we do know that the Biden administration tried to cover it up by failing to report it for 2 weeks before it came to light from a local reporter, a local weekly news reporter who happened upon it. And our governor sent a scathing letter demanding a briefing, an intel briefing on what they found at Quantico. And we're going to get a briefing here later about exactly what their intent was and what their background was. But that's the kind of thing that is happening too much across this country. And it's only portending future tragedy in that we don't know who's coming into our country, and it may result in a heinous terrorist attack.
Yeah, many of your colleagues have come on this program and they tell me it's not a matter of if but when. Do you share that assessment, that concern?
I share that fear. I share that concern, absolutely, that we don't know whether it's the tens of thousands of adult Chinese males who are coming in or the Middle Eastern. You know, Jordan has a population that it has a significant Palestinian population, and so we don't know who from Gaza, who from Hamas has managed to escape and made their way to Jordan. We don't know if they've made their way to Jordan over to the United States. We know that Turkey is facilitating some of this air travel from Middle Eastern countries through Turkey to Mexico. And we need to use the leverage that we have as allies, as NATO members with Turkey, to make sure that they put a stop to this influx into our country.
All right. Well, Congressman, we've gone over our time. I really appreciate all your great insight, and thank you for fighting that good fight. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Good man right there, folks. And you heard it, and I'm just going to believe it. What is the religion? Name it, claim it. I think that the Republicans are going to... No, I know the Republicans are going to do the right thing and find Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. That's what I believe. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. I am curious, those of you out there, especially in border states, Do you have concerns that these illegals are up to no good? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, all of our Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arkansas listeners, we expect you to come out Saturday. We're going to have a good old time. The Mid-South book signing, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We're going to be signing books over at Books A Million in South Haven from 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock this coming Saturday. May even try to get our Todd Stern Show national correspondent, Ben Dieter, out there.
I don't know. I'll be there, Todd, but I've seen some of your book tours. You're the celebrity, and I'm just there.
No, I mean, look.
Hold the king's cloak. No,
well, people are going to want to see. No, they'll be able to meet you, okay. Ben Dieter, and maybe Dylan will be there, maybe.
That's his turf. Well, South Haven.
It is. Lives right around the corner from mm-hmm. Books A Million.
Can walk there.
There you go. All right, bring your friends and neighbors, as they say. But again, that Saturday, Books A Million, and we certainly appreciate all those great people there. In South Haven. All right, Ben Dieter, you are here with some breaking news. A few days ago, we told you that Elon Musk had been spotted in Memphis, Tennessee.
That's correct.
And now we know why.
He is building the world's largest gigafactory of compute, is what they're calling it. A huge AI manufacturing site in none other than Memphis, Tennessee. It's all the places in the world, Memphis, Tennessee.
It's called the Gigafactory of Compute, and it will be the largest capital investment in the history of Memphis.
That's right.
Multi-billion dollars that Elon's going to be spending here in the Bluff City.
So naturally, most of your listeners are asking for a translator, right? What does that mean?
We're going to become the world leader in AI.
And semiconductors for artificial intelligence. So everybody knows at this part that there's ChatGPT. Well, Elon's been working on a rival. And if you make a little mistake on your Twitter or on your X, you'll hit the button Grok. Have you seen the Grok button?
I've seen the Grok.
That is the rival version of ChatGPT. This is what is going to fund that.
You see, I thought Grok was one of the characters in Guardians of the Galaxy, but that's not it.
Nope.
That's somebody else.
Nope. Okay. It's
He's
a
not
robot.
The tree. Oh, wow. It's a robot. So this is cool. So what could happen here? Because they're saying that we will, you know, we're known as Grind City. So now we could be known as the Supercomputer City. And here's my take on this. So you're telling me that all these AI robots, right? So when they come off the manufacturing line, they're going to have Southern accents. Hey, y'all, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Maine.
Yeah, Maine, right. Yeah.
I love it.
Wow. So
this is exciting.
This is actually some of the biggest news. I mean, you've been getting messages from different people across the country saying, wait, Elon's coming to Memphis? Why Memphis? And it's a great question. Some people would say maybe it's cheaper land. We do have cheaper land here in the region, maybe cheap labor. I don't know, Todd, but
I'm going to answer that question.
Go ahead.
The reason why is, even though we are controlled by Democrats, we have a we have a very intelligent city, and especially in the burbs. So we've got really smart people. We've got hardworking people here in this area of the country. And again, it's pretty darn cheap to live here. So
also, we're a distribution hub.
And that is probably number one.
Yeah.
Not only are we the headquarters of FedEx, but also we have the Mississippi River, which is one of the nation's largest ports. We also have one of the largest. This is where all of the major railroads converge. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the interstates. Paul Shanklin says, should we tell Elon the Shelby County school math scores or not?
We've been getting, should we also let him know that the Shelby County Commission doesn't want to give work contracts to white guys?
But it's okay because here's the challenge. So Elon is an African American. You know, he's from South Africa, but I think they knew this going into that meeting a few days ago because they were saying, no, not African Americans, blacks. Those are the only people that are getting the contracts in Memphis. Mm. Black people, not African Americans. So that could throw Elon for a loop.
So are you going to get a Tesla now, Todd?
No, but here's what I want to know, because we're the most deadly violent city in America. I want to know, are they going to be churning out RoboCops here in Memphis? That's what I want to
know. Is that the future?
It's like AI, right?
Little Groks. Groks running around the streets of Memphis.
Dylan, it's sad. Dieter here doesn't know. He's never seen RoboCop.
Todd, I haven't either.
Go stand in the corner.
I know who that is, though.
What are they teaching you guys in school? How do you not know what
that
RoboCop is?
2 + 2 = 5.
Are they supposed to teach us RoboCop in school, Todd?
They should. Also, Happy Gilmore, Caddyshack, you should be learning all of this. Anchorman.
Anchorman, yeah.
So what can you explain the tie-in for Dylan myself on this announcement with RoboCop?
Well, RoboCop, you know what? I'll let our audience do that because they have the knowledge. But RoboCop was one of the great movies of all time. Cop gets killed, comes back to life as a robot cop that shoots the bad guys. I love it.
Wow.
901-260-5926 is our telephone number. This is exciting news. Congratulations, Memphis, Tennessee. That's 901-260-5926. Are they going to fix the potholes? Does anybody know? Can Elon help us out with that? We'll be right back, America. Hang tight.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. Todd Stearns here with you, our national correspondent. Ben Dieter, also the host of the morning show on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. This is kind of exciting. Does Elon know that we really don't have a power grid here? Is he gonna, they're going to have to build their own.
We get a storm and 95%
no,
of
sir.
This...
No, sir. The wind blows.
Correction. I stand corrected. We get a gust and 95% of the electric customers lose power here. Everything's okay. But everything's going
to
be fine.
The breaking news, Elon is building a bazillion dollar plant to churn out RoboCops here in Memphis, Tennessee. So we're very excited about this.
This is the future. I mean, we're going to be dead smack in the middle of artificial intelligence. I guess, I mean, this is interesting. Do you
well, use, we are controlled by Democrats, so yeah, I guess it is use, artificial intelligence.
We could use intelligence, and if it's artificial, that's better than what we've got.
Well, there you go. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Sunny in Ocala, Florida, WOCA, our great affiliate there. Hi, Sunny, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Todd. It's afternoon here in Ocala. But anyway, what's on my mind is, we do not have a two-party system. If we had a two-party system, the Republicans would have challenged Biden's nomination for president. Why did we let it go this far? And the fact the matter of the Democrats impeached Trump twice, and these people can't even come out. We're still studying impeaching Biden. When are they going to impeach him? On January 19th of next year?
It's not going to happen, Sonny. They're not going to impeach Biden. He's going to get away with all of this, and that's just the reality of it. And it's I know there are many that were hoping the Republicans would have done the right thing. That's why Kevin McCarthy got booted, by the way, and Mike Johnson just as bad. And the reality is that Joe Biden will not be impeached. Remember what we said early on, and I'm a clock watcher, and you have to be in the radio business, but I can read calendars, and I knew by January that this was not going to happen. And the reason why is the Republicans fear it's going to hurt their reelection chances. I will say this, if they don't move forward on holding Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress, there's a very real chance that Republicans could lose control of the House. All right, Sonny, appreciate that call. God bless you, sir. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Ben Dieter, I was listening to the Kamala Harris interview with Jimmy Kimmel, and I learned something about Kamala. I didn't realize that she has a brand of the devil's lettuce named in her honor.
I mean, who knew that this would be how they get Black voters, because that's exactly what they're trying to do with this interview, Todd.
Oh, is that right? So
yes.
It's not just, all right, so because the whole part of reparations, by the way, is 40 acres and a Dodge Charger. So now you're saying they've shipped Kamala Harris off to Jimmy Kimmel's couch. Here is a portion of this cringe interview last night, cut number six.
Have you ever been bitten by the president's dog?
Well, that's a good question.
No.
No? Okay. All right.
That sometimes people will open the door for you and leave it open. Sometimes they won't.
Yeah, sometimes you got to get down
and then
on
you
your
need to kick
apartment.
That door down.
What's up with the laugh?
Excuse my language.
We are back with the Vice President, Kamala Harris.
Now, I've heard that the president can use a four-letter word from time to time. Who curses more, you or Joe Biden?
That's one of the national secrets. That
that's one of the secrets? Do you keep those from your husband?
I do.
You do. Does he get upset that you have secrets that you have to keep from him?
I think he actually likes that I don't tell him because he likes to sleep.
You live in a home previously occupied by Mike and Karen Pence. When you move into the house, like, do you and Doug, like, push the twin beds in the master bedroom back together? Are there, is that kind of a remodeling situation going on?
We brought our own bed.
Do you know
that's
that
the smarter way.
Are you aware that there is a strain of cannabis named after you, Kamala Kush. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seriously?
Seriously, for real.
I did not know that.
You didn't know it? They didn't even send you any?
Oh.
Oh, that's outrageous. You'd think you would get...
I'm not
You think you
that.
Would get something.
Wow, Kamala Kush.
Kamala.
Kamala Kush.
Kamala Kush.
Kamala Kush.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that a particular, is it Jamaican blend or do we know?
There's different strains of weed, Todd. Indica is one of them. I guess that we have one named after the vice president.
I'd like to, before they do the debates, I think there needs to be drug testing. And I think she's clearly on something. A grown adult doesn't laugh like that, right? It's weird.
I'm going to stick up for Kamala Kush here, and I'm going to defend her because no vice president should be interviewed in that way. To call the vice president a type of pot is really offensive. If you think about it, she is the second most powerful person in the world, arguably. You can make that argument.
Yeah, you see, I thought she would have been a crackhead. I just didn't realize.
Crackhead Kamala. Yeah. No, that's the president's son.
Okay.
Different drug.
There's a lot of debauchery going down at the White House.
But, like, you heard those questions. They were like, does Commander bite you? Do you sleep in Mike Pence's bed? Do you swear worse than President Biden? And do you smoke pot? Those were the questions directed at a sitting vice president.
Because she's a joke, Ben. She's a joke. And everybody knows it.
I know, but I watched it last night, and she was physically uncomfortable. Even for Kamala Harris, she was uncomfortable being accused of being Kamala Kush.
All right. Interesting. 901-260-5926. Do you think that Jimmy Kimmel's questioning was out of line? Ben Dieter says that. I think he's a registered Democrat. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. It's not a registered Democrat. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Terry in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Terry. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I wanted to comment about, I believe it was your last caller from Florida that called in and talking about the two-party system that we have. And he's dead on. We don't have a two-party system anymore. These people are so afraid of making a mistake or making somebody mad that they're afraid that it will interfere in them getting reelected. So they're so afraid of making a mistake that it causes them not to do the right thing. You know, I'm going to give the whole Republican Party a little word of advice, and it goes like this. My grandfather told me this years ago. He said, you tell it like it is. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. If they don't like it, they'll get over it. If they don't get over it, you didn't need them anyway. So
I like that. That's a good slogan.
Yeah. And look, these Republicans are sitting up there letting these people get away. That's the reason. Let me tell you this. If I was a bank robber, okay, and I rob banks for a living, and they got me and pulled me in front of a committee and just scolded me and told me how bad I was and all this. I know I'm bad. I'm a bank robber. But when they let me walk out of there the next day, I'm going to rob a bank. That's exactly what's going on in this country. It's a disgrace to know that these people are allowing these. You know that there are prosecutors out there that would do the right thing and prosecute these people.
Terry, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
So the bottom line is these people that we elect is calling themselves Republicans need to grow some. They need to get out there and take charge and put these people in their place, because whether they think it will or not, that's going to get them reelected. When the American people see them taking charge and doing the right thing, that's going to get them elected.
All right. Terry, got to leave it there, my friend. Appreciate that call. And folks, agree or disagree with Terry, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, Ben, are you familiar with Star Wars?
Not sure.
So you haven't seen the Star Wars movies?
No.
This is tragic.
Have you?
Yes, all of them. I grew up on Star Wars. And I will say this. I had no idea. I always thought that, well, I'm not really sure I thought this about R2-D2. They're saying that R2-D2 is now apparently a lesbian. Cut number 10. This is the new Star Wars. The gayest one yet is what they're calling it.
I want to ask you both, because this is, I would say, arguably the gayest Star Wars, I think, by a considerable margin. And are you excited about that? Are you
not
bracing
the gayest
yourself?
Star Wars. Not the gayest.
It's pretty gay, let's be honest. Leslie, are you, how do you feel?
Am I gay? Yeah.
Well, no, I know you are gay, but I'm asking, are you excited about putting this, you know, this is going to be a talking point.
Is it going to be a talking point?
I'm sure so.
Because nerds are gay.
Well,
yeah.
Well, some nerds are very not gay and are very threatened by gay.
Well, that's
stuff.
True. But yeah. In my world, nerds are gay.
Okay. Was this the fun element of...
No, I don't think so. And yet people have told me that it's the gayest Star Wars, and I frankly...
You're offended?
Into it. No.
I think that Star Wars is so gay already.
Okay.
I mean, have you seen the fits? We'd be like, look how gay this is, and then send each other a reference photo.
And are you telling me, with a straight face, that C-3PO is straight?
They're a couple. That's what I think. But this is more outward.
I think it's canon that R2-D2 is a lesbian.
Oh, ooh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Ask Filoni. Okay.
So, anyway, all right, enough of this. Jeez, alone. So it was bad enough. The Star Trek Discovery, and I happen to be a Star Wars and Star Trek fan, and they took Star Trek and turned it completely into non-binary lesbian land. And the whole cast, I don't think there is a straight white guy on the starship. And so now Star Wars, the all-new Star Wars, courtesy of Disney, saying R2-D2 is apparently a lesbian. It's Happy Pride Month.
And I guess if you're a nerd, you're gay.
Yeah, that was, nerds are...
That, are there any nerds out there in the Todd Starnes? I mean, is that the accusation that if you are to be a nerd in like Star Wars that you are a gay?
The argument is that nobody is really straight, right? That's their argument now, is that everybody is some form of the rainbow persuasion.
Did you see that study that came out? They said most Gen Z millennial women are, a half of them identify as bisexual now. That's one out of two women.
Big girls. Biggins.
I mean, I don't know. That seems like quite the contagious effect.
Interesting.
Where one out of two females that would identify as Gen Z or a millennial identify as bisexual.
I wonder if it really bothers. I mean, there are like diehard Star Wars and Star Trek fans. And I know in the comic book world, there are some very, very passionate people about their characters. And they do not like this. You know, all of the characters are now coming out as a member of the LGBT community. And they're saying, leave those characters alone. You know, if you want to create a gay character, go out and create a gay character. But don't go in there and turn C-3PO, who is a little suspect, or Bert and Ernie over on Sesame Street, or R2-D2, you know, don't turn these characters, these beloved characters, into some sort of a sexual icon, because they're not meant to, you know, I don't recall R2-D2 making out with anybody. I'm just saying. So anyway, wow. That being said, if R2-D2 is listening, got to be careful, and you don't want to get a virus on your hard drive. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, coming up in the next hour, we're going to have a lot of fun. And you're going to have an opportunity to win a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We're going to tell you all about that. We're going to be talking to some great actors who are getting ready to launch a great, great show in Memphis. And a little bit later on, Jeff Katz, host of the Jeff Katz Show, and Mary Walter, host of the Mary Walter Radio Podcast. By the way, Mary's been filling in for Rita Cosby on her national show this week. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to have them joining us a little bit later on. I want to give you an update on Hunter Biden's trial. We're into day three now. And today, getting a little bit juicy, we're hearing from Zoe Kesten. And you say, well, who is Zoe Kesten? So that is Hunter Biden's stripper ex-girlfriend. And she testifies, so she's a stripper, and also she was dating Hunter. Was this before Hunter started shacking up with his sister-in-law after his brother died from brain cancer? We're working on the timeline of all this. Anyway, Zoe Keston, the stripper and ex-girlfriend, testified under immunity that Hunter Biden would smoke crack every 20 minutes during a 2018 trip. Good golly, how is this guy still alive? That's a miracle. She said she met Biden in 2017. She was working at a gentleman's club. It was late at night. She was offered to do one more private 30-minute dance. And, well, you know how it goes, right? You start shedding your clothes, and the next thing you know, you're talking about a baby daddy. So we'll keep you updated. Wow, what a disgusting trial. It is just, it's almost as if the entire Ten Commandments is on display. Every single one of them has been broken. Hunter Biden, you need to go to church, sir. I'm just saying. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back to this Joe Biden poll here. This is fascinating. Now, there's another part of the poll that I found to be very interesting. This one from YouGov. And the question they asked all of you folk out there, do you think it's a good idea for a convicted felon to be allowed to run for president? And that's a fair question to ask. So in April, they went out there and they asked Republicans, do you think it's a good idea? Only 17% of Republicans at the time said that it was a good idea. But in June, June 4th, June 5th. Today is June the 5th. They've already surveyed Americans. And they asked the American people the same question, Republican voters. Do you still think it's a good idea to let a convicted felon run for president? And just a few months later, 58% of Republican voters said it's not just a good idea, it is a great idea. So I'm curious to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think it's a good idea to have a convicted felon running for the White House? 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. But the reality is that most Americans, they get it. They understand what this is all about. It's nothing more than a sham trial, and that Donald Trump is the victim of a political witch hunt. And I think the country is going to be in for a great awakening. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump says, mark his words. This is Donald Trump saying this. Mark his words that he will win the state of New York. And I believe it. I mean, all of the upstate is Trump country anyway. All right, hang tight. Got to take a break. Coming back, your chance to win a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you guys with us today as we broadcast from our Liberty University studios. And by the way, if you're looking for a great place to get an education, go check out Liberty University, liberty.edu. By the way, folks, all of our listeners in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, so coming up Saturday, the big book tour hits South Haven, Mississippi. We're going to be at Books a Million signing copies of the new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? That's 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and we would love for you to drop by if you are in the area. Also, in a couple of weeks, I'll be in Washington speaking at the Road to the Majority Conference. As a matter of fact, President Trump is going to be on the stage as well. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope to see you. And then we're heading out to Iowa, then Los Angeles. So we've got a busy couple of weeks coming up here on the program. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you want to call into the program this hour, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I got a message about a month ago, and every now and again, I will make a mistake. Dylan, I'm allowed at least one every other year. So this is the one for 2024 and 2025. And the letter, it's a person living in Germantown, Tennessee. And she said, Todd, all you talk about are the bad things going on in Memphis. You need to talk about some good stuff going on in Memphis. And I thought about that for a long time. And I thought, you know what? She's right. Because there's a lot of great stuff going on. Of course, now with Elon Musk, you know, bringing the RoboCops to the city. I mean, that's going to be huge. And if he can fill the potholes, that's going to be great. So that's exciting. But there's also an incredible amount of talent here in the Mid-South and in the Memphis area. And it is just unbelievable. Several weeks ago, our good friend Rebecca Denstall, the owner of Denstall's Chocolates, one of the great sponsors of what we do here, she invited me to come and to see a high school production of a musical called Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. And I was just blown away. And all I could think of was I could have saved $250 and gone to the Collierville High School production as opposed to spend all that money on Broadway. And now, of course, there is also a great community theater here in the Memphis area. Believe it or not, one of the oldest in America, over 100 years old, they've been doing community theater. And folks, it is, honest to goodness, better than anything you will see on Broadway. So instead of booking a flight to the Big Apple, you need to come to Memphis, Tennessee and check out the theater scene here. And we are very honored because there is a brand new show. It is a musical production of Cinderella. And it launches, I believe, this week on June 7th through the 30th. So it's a long production. And we are honored to have the two stars, Jasmine Gillenwaters and Aiden Pettit, with us in studio. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, this is kind of exciting. Now, Jasmine, I want to start with you. How did you get involved in community theater?
Oh, wow. Okay. So when I was younger, the first show I ever did was a production of Beauty and the Beast. Not sure if I can call it Beauty and the Beast.
So you were Beauty, right?
No.
You weren't the Beast.
No. I have no idea what kind of production this was, but like there were like dog and like pig like masks and, wow, and involved. But like I think it was Beauty and the Beast. I don't know. That's my first recollection of like theater. And then I did like Narnia, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe when I was in middle school. And then fast forward, because I was pursuing a dance career and I had an injury that took me away from that. And then freshman year of high school at Collierville, I decided to audition for Catch Me If You Can.
So you were at Collierville High School,
yes,
okay, which has a huge musical and
yes,
theater program. Mm-hmm.
Yes, oh, fantastic.
And Aiden, you just graduated, but you're an award-winning actor, and I understand you're up for a national award as well in New York City coming up.
Yes, sir. So I just graduated from Collierville High School. We're actually both from the same school. We were 3 years apart. When I was a freshman at Collierville High School, my very first show I did with Jasmine Gillenwaters. It was Frozen Junior. It was a blast. No, yes, I just competed in the Orpheum High School Musical Theater Awards, which is, it's a 150-mile radius from the Orpheum in Memphis. So any high school that wants to participate can, and they nominate leading actors from different shows. And as you just mentioned, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was what I did. I performed as Lawrence Jameson, which most people would know as the Michael Caine character.
Far better than John Lithgow did, so well done. It was great.
Well, thank you, sir. Yes, and I still really can't believe it, but I managed to win the Outstanding Lead Actor Award, and now I will be competing in the Jimmy Awards later this month.
And that's in New York City?
Yes, sir,
it is. All right, very good. So I'll give you advice on where to eat and where to go. Don't go to the Olive Garden in Times Square. That's the tourist always. You can't eat at a franchise restaurant in New York City.
Yeah, I feel like you've got to eat local once you're in.
You got to do it. Definitely. So we'll get you hooked up with Cat's Deli. You'll, you know, gain, you know, 30 pounds eating pastrami on rye.
I can't wait.
So let's talk about the theater, because, you know, there's a lot of chaos in the country right now, and what I think people are looking for is an escape. And Jasmine, do you see that when you see all the young kids coming and the families coming to the theater?
Yes, absolutely. There's something that's so different about live theater compared to a movie. You know, movies, you look and, you know, you sit in the theater and you can just like the camera angles, it's all been edited. So when you go mm-hmm. to see a production inside a theater, and it's this next hour and 30 minutes. Is there's no stopping. There's no cut. There's no go back. Listen, and I think that there's a magic in that, especially with a show as magical as this, for people to come watch, and it takes your mind away from anything else you could be thinking about. It's definitely escape.
How did you get interested in theater, Aiden?
I got interested. So it's a funny story. I really, really, when I was in eighth grade, I really, really wanted to audition for The Voice. And my mom said, you know, that's a whole lot of commitment. That's a really big deal. Let's try auditioning for something local first. And I said, you know, fine, that's all right. And funny enough, this is actually a story that I love telling. I auditioned for a production of Cinderella, the very same show we're doing now, at New Day Children's Theater in Collierville. And I got into the show. I was like, whoa, this is really fun. And then we had about 2 weeks of rehearsals, and it was canceled due to COVID. So that never ended up happening.
Oh,
but
boy.
That got me hooked, and I think I've been pretty hooked since.
So one of the things we're going to do here, guys, we're going to weave in some fun trivia. We told the audience we're gonna help them win some copies of the new book, and you guys are going to help them out. All right, so you're kind of like the lifeline. So periodically through the next segment, we're going to be asking these questions. And here is the first question. And if you know the answer, we'll give out the number in just a moment. So here we go. Question number one: the star of the hit series Everybody Loves Raymond has become an outspoken Christian and pro-life activist. So we want to know, who is the star? Now, you guys can't answer this, all right? So who is the star of Everybody Loves Raymond that we're talking about? So if you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And so once they get it right, they have to get another question correct about Cinderella the musical.
All righty.
And Grace Baker, who is my great executive producer, she has just the questions are off the charts. Dylan, have you seen the actual questions? They're very difficult.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't answer these.
Yeah, it's not good.
They're good ones.
Yes, and I love that. You know, so you guys are doing theater. How long does it take to put together a show like this, Jasmine?
It takes this process has had about 2 months of rehearsals. We auditioned back in November. Theater Memphis does a really great job of giving people really far time in advance, especially in a summer show like this. So vacations and trips and different things, it really gives you a lot of time to plan. So we auditioned in November, and we started rehearsals in April 8th, I believe. So about two months of rehearsal.
And so, I mean, this is like the whole summer. So you guys are going to be working. Is this like a paid thing? Is this volunteer?
This is volunteer, and I think that is
wow.
It's so, and when you look at a production and see how happy people are, there's nothing. It's never about pay. It's like the place that we work in. Everyone is so generous and so kind, and it's such a welcoming space. It makes you want to go back over and over and over and over and over again.
Aiden?
I agree with what she said. It makes it so uniquely beautiful when everyone is there, not for the money, not for any sort of, now, sure, we get a credit on our resume and we're proud of that, but really when everybody's there because they love what we're doing together, I mean, that just makes it such a special environment. We're all happy to be there. We're all proud of the work that we do, and that just makes it so much more than just a job to anybody.
All right. Again, here in studio, we have the stars of Cinderella at Theater Memphis, June 7th through the 30th. If you are anywhere within the sound of my voice, unless you're in Portland, Maine, you need to be here. Well, you could catch a plane, though. I mean, that's not, you know,
it's possible.
It's possible. We have Aiden Pettit and Jasmine Gillen-Waters with us, also taking your calls as well. And here is the next trivia question we're going to throw out. President Ronald Reagan, the star of the hit 1951 film Bedtime for Bonzo. Some say there was another star of the movie, not Ronald Reagan. Who was the star of Bedtime for Bonzo? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to take a break. We'll be taking your calls. This is the Todd Stern Show. Jasmine is smiling here. Does this music sound very familiar
to
you?
It does. Yes, yes, yes.
We just wanted you guys to feel at home. I mean, the stars of a musical.
It does, for sure.
Wow. Welcome back, everybody. Well, let's keep... I like this music. Put a little pep in your step. All right, no dancing in the studio, guys. So we draw the line there. So, Wow. We have the stars of the brand new Theater Memphis, a production of Cinderella, Jasmine Gillenwaters, who plays Ella, and Aiden Pettit plays Topher. Is that right?
All right, sir.
Very cool. Let's go to the phone lines because we do have some trivia we're playing. Let's go to Jeannie in Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. And Jeannie, you are on the air now with a couple of big musical stars. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. We're going to win you a prize. Now, here's how it works. All right, you've got to answer this question. And if you get this question correct, we have a second question to ask. But the good news here is that Aiden and Jasmine are going to help you out, right?
We're going to try our best. Yes, sir.
All right. So, Jeannie, we're in this together. Here we go. So the question is, President Ronald Reagan was the star of the hit 1951 film Bedtime for Bonzo. Some say there was another star of the movie. So who are they talking to? They're not talking about Ronald Reagan. Who are they talking about?
Probably the little chimp that was in it.
The chimpanzee named Bonzo. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Jeannie, you are absolutely correct.
Ooh, super.
Wow, good for you. All right, so now we're going to go on to the Cinderella question. We have Cinderella trivia, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. In the Disney film, Jeannie, and feel free to use your lifeline over here.
Mm-hmm.
What did the fairy godmother use to make the carriage?
The pumpkin.
Didn't need our help.
Jeannie, this was inappropriate. I mean, we brought these people in to help you, and you have to ask for their help.
Well, that was a pretty easy question.
All right. We're going to give you a third question. What did she turn the mice into?
Ooh.
The mice, I think, were turned
Stop.
Into...
Jeannie, stop. You have to ask for the help from your lifeline.
All right. I need help, please.
I feel like it's too simple to ask Ella. I feel like we should ask Topher.
Okay. Well, from what I can tell from the story, I believe they are turned into horses.
No, stop. Jelly, no. Jeannie has to answer the question.
No,
I lost control of the show.
Agree.
So do you agree with Aiden that...
Yes.
All right. Yes. Can we end the show early? Congratulations, Jeannie.
Thank you.
You have just won a signed copy of my brand new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. And if you want, you can come to the station and pick one up, or you can come out to our book signing on Saturday.
Okay, well, I will try to get to the book signing. If I can't, I will come to the station.
Well,
then.
Don't go anywhere. Lydia's going to get all your information, so congratulations. And we're also going to throw in a great coffee mug as well. So we appreciate you listening to the show, and thanks for playing along. All right, let's go to our next caller. Guys, not too bad.
Not
right?
too bad.
I mean, you know, we didn't practice this beforehand. It's live radio.
Not bad at all.
We have no net, so, you know, we either succeed or, you know, we don't. Let's go to Hal in Ohio. Hi, Hal. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Hal, we're doing well. We're going to help you with another question. We already had the Ronald Reagan question answer, but I'm going to give you... another question. I suspect you're going to be able to get this. And here's the question. This Hollywood legend starred in some of the biggest World War II movies of all time. Of course, Tomorrow, D-Day, including The Sands of Iwo Jima and Western movies like True Grit. Hal, he also has an airport named in his honor in California. Can you name the actor we're talking about?
John Wayne.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you guys can cheer if you want to. Yeah. All right. Way to go, Hal.
That's impressive.
All right. Hal, very good. So that gets you into the next round here. And you've got to answer this question. Of course, we have Jasmine and Tom's going to call you Topher now. We've got Jasmine and Aiden here with
yes,
us.
Sir.
And they're going to help you out. So how much is Cinderella's castle worth at Walt Disney World? Is it more than or less than $15 million? And Hal, you can use your lifeline here.
I'll use my lifeline.
All right. Lifeline, guys. What do you think?
I'm going to say less than $15
less
million.
Less than?
I'm feeling less than. That's what I would say.
All right. They're saying less than Hal. So here's the deal. You can go out on your own or you can go with the advice of your lifeline. And I would really suggest you take their advice.
Yes, I'll go with less than $15 million.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
All right.
Good thing we got that right, I guess.
Even in Biden's economy, it's a pretty good steal. $13.5 million. That's how much it cost in 2024 dollars. Hal, if you have a special someone in your life, you can actually buy a replica built entirely out of crystal for $250,000.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Probably not. How about this? We give you a free book.
Good.
All right, Hal, we're going to put you on hold. Congratulations. Well done, you. All right, so we've got time for one more question here, and I'll throw this out. Again, the star of Everybody Loves Raymond, an outspoken Christian and pro-life activist, who is she? I'll tell you, she was the wife of the character played by Raymond. If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, let's talk about important information. Mm-hmm. You guys can't do all these shows, right, free of charge, so you have sponsors.
Right.
And so, let's talk about some of the folks that are helping you guys out.
Absolutely. Let me pull this up with our sponsors.
And, of course, while y'all are doing that, theatermemphis.org, if you would like tickets, that's theatermemphis.org. The show starts June the 7th and goes all the way to June 30th. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are still available, and you can get them online. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. You can get them online. We are selling out a lot of our shows. So if you want to get tickets, I would advise you run to that online. It's theatermemphis.org. You can find the link once you go through the Cinderella page. And, yes, those tickets are $35 for adults, $30 for seniors and veterans, and then $15 for students.
Love it. Great.
Yes.
And real quick, the sponsors.
Yes, I have the sponsors right here for you. That's Edward Sharp and McWaters, Associates Realtors, and Deborah Duncan Tipton, and Mary Elizabeth Tipton in honor of Robin Tipton Jr.
Wow.
Then we have our media sponsors, WKNO, 91.1 FM, and the Memphis Flyer.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Well done. You won some people some prizes.
Woo!
So that's
awesome.
Great. And we're excited for you guys. So have a great show. Do they still say break a leg?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. You've been great. Jasmine Gillenwaters and Aiden Pettit, stars of the musical Cinderella at theatermemphis.org. Coming up, our good buddy Jeff Katz from Virginia. Mary Walter, host of the Mary Walter Radio Podcast. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. So, Dylan, I thought that went pretty well, right?
You know, they were really fun.
A lot of fun. And we're going to do more of this because there's a lot of great stuff happening in America. And I don't want us to get into the doldrums. And these are two great young people, Jasmine and Aiden, and they just crushed it. And they're giving back to their community, and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate Theater Memphis as well. It's an entirely community-run, community-driven theater, over 103 years old. They've been in existence, and they're just some fine, fine people. So, and I know there's folks just like that in your neighborhoods as well. All right, let's get to the phones. We've got another trivia question on the table. Let's go to Peter in North Carolina, WTKF. All right, Peter. You don't have your lifeline here because they had to go off to the theater. You know, they got to get ready for the show tonight. So it's just you and me, Peter.
Well, that's good. I'm sorry they're not there, but I do believe I know the answer.
All right. So we need to know the star of the hit series Everybody Loves Raymond, an outspoken Christian. Who are we talking about?
Well, that'd be Ray's wife. Her character name is Deborah, and that would be Patricia Heaton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got it. You nailed it. That's huge.
Hey, Todd, we got a mutual friend.
Oh, really? Who's our mutual friend?
Soccer Tom Mulroy.
Well, okay. Wow. Well, there you know, it's a small world. Peter, hang tight. We're going to put you on hold. You have just won a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Well done, you. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always excited to have our good friends, Jeff Katz from WRVA and Mary Walter, host of the Mary Walter Radio Podcast. Guys, how's it going today?
I'm doing fantastically. Well, look at the both of us at the same time. Go ahead, Jeff. Age before beauty.
Wow.
Oh, no!
I was hoping to answer Patricia Heaton, get a copy of the book, man. I am. I was like one caller too late.
We just had the stars of Cinderella in studio. I could ask you this question, Chef Katz, for a book. What was Cinderella's shoe size?
I think it was an 11 triple E. Oh, no, that's mine.
She's not in the WNBA. No. Good Lord, man.
WNBA.
This is fascinating. Now, Mary Walter, I'm fascinated by the answer to this question. It is, according to Pop Sugar, the Cinderella shoe size is 4.5. And the average the average woman, I think she's a midget, like a little,
little person.
Pardon me, yes.
I got you. A little person. I got you, Todd.
But for women, the average shoe size is between 7 and 8. That's according to a Brooklyn podiatrist by the name of Leon Stefinski.
And look at me, 7.5. Boom, nailed it.
Boom. Mary Walter, wow. Average.
Perfect foot size. Yay.
Holy cow. All right. Wow, this is just nuts. So, guys, before we get to the big stories of the day, I need to talk.
Wait, that wasn't it?
No, this is the story of the day. This is the headline from Chicago, where now they're concerned that cicadas may soon get infected with STDs and turn them into zombies.
Are you sure you want to veer away from Mary's shoe size? It's the only thing where she's average. Everything else, she's exceptional, stellar, out of a box. But, wow, who's doing that with cicadas?
I have so many questions with
now,
this story.
If this had happened in West Hollywood, okay. But we're talking about Champaign, Illinois.
Well, you know, down in the villages, they've got a big STD problem because they don't use protection because they can't get pregnant, right? Like, that's the going theory.
The cicadas?
So, no, the humans.
Oh,
and so
I'm
children
sorry.
Are finding themselves having to have an uncomfortable conversation with their mom and dad, right? The shoes on the other foot. But who talks to the cicadas about their unsafe sex?
This is good. This is a real scientific issue. And this is very painful. According to the reporting of according to WGN-TV, the infection is a white fungus that takes over the male and causes the gonads to be ripped from the body.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. I told you. It's terrible. This is the big story.
I just lost my life, Todd.
Back to you, Mary.
Back to the Bubbies. Let's let Mary get back to the Bubbies and the Zetas and the villages. You know, my brother just moved into a 55-plus community down there, and it's in like the community room. You know, all the information you need on it. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Just take a pamphlet, Grandma.
Well,
Who did the study? Who does the study? Who studies the cicadas' gonads? Do we know who does that?
I'm just wondering who is watching. I mean, do they have like somebody out there and, you know, that's their job is to with the binoculars because there are billions of these. Do you guys have the cicadas up in your parts of the country?
Me?
Yeah. New Jersey.
No, I didn't know. I did not know to whom you were speaking and I didn't want to speak over Jeff. No, we do not. But you know what we're getting this year? We just got a warning of venomous flying giant spiders from Asia.
Oh, good God.
Venomous, flying, giant, venomous spiders. Kid you not.
What?
Yes.
In New Jersey?
New York, New Jersey. We're apparently the perfect climate for them.
Now, according to the Chicago Field Museum of Natural History, the fungus, and here's the problem, is that the birds are eating the cicadas, and then the birds are becoming infected, but not with an STD. Apparently, it causes the birds to have some sort of like LSD hallucinogenic effect on the bird. So,
well, that's just a good time.
You could just see a couple of blackbirds, you know, sitting on the sidewalk going, yo, man, tweet, tweet, baby. I don't know. This is terrible. All right, there you go. Cicada
are these birds you think going to encounter the flying spiders in Jersey? I mean, we got a lot of problems going on. I thought Hunter Biden's gun was an issue that was big, but man, this just trumps it all, baby.
Oh, by the way, speaking of that, and we do want to get people out of that. Yeah. I didn't want to do this when the kids were here in the studio because you don't want to talk about strippers and, you know, baby mamas.
Yeah, they have no idea what that's.
But there's
about.
A lot of they have a lot of they're good kids. The trial, Hunter Biden's trial, in day three, and so the stripper, who's the ex-girlfriend, Zoe, is testifying that Hunter was basically smoking crack around the clock.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of STDs and gonads falling off, let's talk about Hunter Biden.
Oh, my God.
You know, honestly, who would not want to see that man, you know, just like bathed in bleach and in a hazmat suit before you even want to touch him? None of this surprises me at all with Hunter Biden. And do I need to hear this? Just like I didn't need to hear it with Donald Trump. Do I need to hear this with and is it surprising, though? I guess that's the question. Is any of this salacious when it comes to Hunter Biden? Or we're just like, yeah, that's just also known as Wednesday. We've heard this before.
That's a great point, Mary, that short of Hunter Biden being involved with the cicadas or the flying spiders, I don't think anything is going to be shocking. I mean, this is a complete and total bottom feeding Delta Bravo from day one. You know, Hunter Biden's dumbest son there, Fredo. I don't know what else is going to come out. It's pretty clear just on basic evidentiary rules. You know, he filled out the form wrong. He lied about it. I think the real takeaway for that we're all going to have is will this confirm for people that there might just be two separate systems of justice available?
It's a fair point. And then, you know, when you throw in this Wall Street Journal report, that's just a big mess. The whole thing is a big mess.
Yeah.
When you look at the Wall Street Journal report and they're interviewing, 45 lawmakers, members of the administration, yep, who say Biden's cognitive skills are in steep decline. Mary, you have to imagine there's no way this guy's going to be the nominee. At some point, they have to pull the plug. It's only going to get worse. It can't get better.
You might want to use the term pulling the plug when speaking about Joe Biden a little bit more carefully.
Pardon me. Hello. Can we go to commercial break?
I was going to say that going back to Hunter just for a hot second here, just remember, they want us to believe that Hunter Biden was so drug-addled he didn't know that he was lying on the form. He was incapable of knowing that. But at the same time, he was a brilliant businessman worth millions and millions of dollars. So, you know, there's that we should, you know, just bear that in mind. As for Joe Biden, I was going to say, so the New York Times clearly got the go ahead to print this story, right? Because they're just the disinformation arm of the Democrat Party. This is who they are, right? So yep, something is afoot, but The first debate is before the convention, which if you want to get rid of Joe, have him just, you know, the Joe juice runs out. They don't give him enough to get him through the whole thing. And the Joe juice runs out and we got to do it sitting and they're going to have to like wheel him off the stage. That's how they take him out. That's the excuse. He's had a medical incident. But they have to nominate him virtually before that, mm-hmm, because he won't get on the ballot in Ohio. Once he's on the ballot in Ohio, I mean, what do you do? How do you slip someone else on the ballot? They got to do it before, I guess, they nominate him virtually.
Stein, weigh in on that.
It's a great point.
I mean, Katz.
Yeah. I have no idea what Stein thinks about this, but I will tell you what Katz thinks about this. I think Mary has really hit on something. This guy is trouble for all of us, of course. We're all much worse off the last 4 years with him. But the Democrats are dancing this very, very delicate dance. Part of the reasoning for putting that debate in June was to kind of get it out of the way and give Biden the chance to recover from what idiocy he spews forth on that night. But now, as you point out, you've got the Wall Street Journal, I guess the New York Times, Mary says, has confirmed this, 45 different members of Congress, yeah, all sorts of Democrats saying, yeah, he's not there anymore. It's gone. You have to think that with their brazen lust after power, the desire to hold on to it at all at all costs, they're thinking about moving him off. But there is that technicality. Mary pointed out, Ohio, how do they thread this needle? It's an interesting situation. And I don't know. There's a part of me that says, yeah, I'd love to see Joe Biden competing against Donald Trump again, because I think we wind up as the winners in that. But are they maneuvering him for someone else? It's a great question. Who are they going to pick?
All right. We've got Mary Walter, a host of the Mary Walter Radio Podcast with us, and Jeff Katz, host of the Jeff Katz Show on WRVA, our great affiliate in Richmond. So finally, guys, I want to draw your attention to a story out of Hollywood. And this is the headline from the Daily Mail, How Hot Rodent Men Became Hollywood's Sexiest Heartthrobs. Gen Z fans are going wild for actors with unusual features. So, Mary, is this true that the golden retriever era of heartthrobs is now over?
How did we get here? Seriously, like, how should did we have get just, here? Anybody?
I should have told Grace Baker you had other plans today.
That was teach me. But I saw this story and I thought, I don't know, maybe Hollywood women are trying to prove that they're really not vapid and shallow by dating some dude who's ugly. Is that like the new status symbol? Look, I'm really not vapid and shallow. I'm dating an ugly dude. And how do these guys feel about being called rodents? You have rodent-like features. You look like a possum. I think it's just, you know, the election season in this country, we just lose our minds every year. It comes every 4 years. There's going to be a pandemic. It's going to be the bird flu is going to be next. Although I will say in 2020, we skipped right over murder hornets. They were supposed to be here and we lost them. So maybe they'll come back this year. And now we have men who look like rodents, little possums, and they're apparently adorable. I don't know. Do they carry them in their purses like the little dogs they used to carry around?
I wonder if they eat the cicadas. I'm just asking.
They're not good-looking dudes, and I would never say that they're bad-looking because I don't, you know, people can't help how they look. God gives everybody something, right? But I certainly wouldn't call them rodent-like and consider that a plus.
Jeff Katz, your thoughts on men who look like rats?
Well, you give me a second. I'm looking in the mirror. I just want to make sure my whiskers are straight, my ears are pointed up, and whatever else it is.
You do have a lovely angular.
So attractive to the Hollywood starlets, you know. But Mary, I think hits it again. Look, there's so many wonderful little distractions. We got a lot of serious problems in this country right now, and who it is that the Hollywood starlet du jour finds attractive, and for whatever reason. Yeah, I guess they can have at it, but that's, again, you know, that's spoken as a married suburban father of three, married for 25 years. I'm not in that arena anymore. So
the women
have a nice slice of cheese and move on with life.
So the women have the hot rodent boyfriends, and then the men, I guess, to quote the song, they've got the fat-bottomed girls. I don't know.
That is in too. By the way, I received a text from a woman named Grace Baker.
Oh Lord.
She says, please send help. Not sure I can take these cicadas much longer. Did you know that you can cook them? They're supposedly a good source of protein if you can get past the ick. They're apparently a good source of protein. I would assume they're harder to shell than a shrimp, but yeah, you can eat them.
Well, don't tell Alvin Bragg.
They taste a lot like chicken.
Taste like chicken.
And you can serve them to your rodent boyfriends.
All right, Jeff Katz, you've got a show to get ready for. Mary Walter, you're filling in all this week for Rita Cosby on her big national show.
Yes, sir. So I will be on KWAM. Yay! And this guy named Todd Starnes was so nice, and he called in on my first night filling in for Ms. Cosby and gave me a real boost, and I appreciate that.
I almost didn't get past the call screener, so I mean, that was tough.
Yeah, well.
All right. Well, guys, got to leave it there. I'm not sure what we accomplished, but don't eat the cicadas. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Jeff Katz and Mary Walter on the show. We got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. Is that true? You can eat cicadas? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, folks. I told you it was a little quirky show today. And we got to have those every now and again, right? So it puts a little pep in the step. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you'll be able to watch me on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show, 5 o'clock Eastern. We have some great guests. We're going to be talking to a doctor about President Biden's health, Dr. Frank Contessessa. Also, the Christian lifeguard we told you about suing the Los Angeles County Fire Department over that pride flag. We're going to be talking to him and his attorney coming up on the show tonight, as well as David Gelman drops by. A Trump legal surrogate, and he's going to weigh in on Merrick Garland. And we're just going to have a lot of fun. That's 5 o'clock Eastern. In the meantime, don't forget, if you live in Mississippi, Arkansas, or Tennessee, we're going to be hosting a big book signing on Saturday at Books a Million. That's 11 to 1 o'clock, so write it down. You can go and hang out with us. We're eating brunch over at Silo Square after the book signing. It's a great entertainment district and shopping district there in South Haven. They call it the top of Mississippi because it's... Well, the top of Mississippi, that's why. So, again, that's coming up Saturday, 11 to 1 at Books a Million. Folks, it's been a lot of fun. If you missed the interviews, and weren't those some great kids from Theater Memphis? Kids, they're adults, but they're kids, and they're good kids. Go back and listen to the interview. You'll enjoy it. You'll have a great time. Again, ToddStearns.com, free podcast download. Also, free newsletter download. Because we want to make sure you guys are equipped with what you need to fight for America. All right, get out there. Have a great one. You be good, America.